This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Eleanor Fucci. How are you, Eleanor?
Well, thank you. Hi, Chris.
I am good. I have got one very nervous Eleanor here who said you didn't sleep well for the last 2 days. Nervousness.
Yeah, because I don't speak well English. I started to study 4 years ago. And for me, it's crazy to speak now with you in the radio.
Lovely. So what we're going to talk about is I want to talk about Alianico del Vulture. Mm-hmm. I call it Vulture, but you call
Vulture.
It... Vulture.
Alianico del Vulture.
It's a wine down in Basilicata in southern Spain, southern Italy.
Yeah.
Southern Italy. And we're going to talk a bit about the region.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit about the grape variety.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to talk a little bit about the winemaking technique because you are... the winemaker.
Yes, thank you. We are in South Italy, in Basilicata. And the Basilicata is the region in the middle of Puglia, Calabria and Campania. In the middle, the land in the middle is the Basilicata. It's funny because the Basilicata have two sea, but the people don't know.
Two sea,
yes. We have the sea in the Golfo di Taranto with Policoro and Metaponto and the sea on the Tirreno with Maratea. We have two sea in Basilicata.
Let's call it this. You're surrounded by the Mediterranean on two sides.
Yeah.
Made up of two different seas.
Yeah, different seas.
Yeah.
Yes. Perfect.
Lovely.
Okay. The Vulture is an old volcano extinct. It's in the part north of Basilicata. And is like 1,300 meters. And Barile, my town, is 600 meters high on top the Monte Vulture.
Yeah.
The old volcano, the soil is a volcanic soil, very mineralized soil, the many stratification, the many eruption of Vulture.
There's a lot of Vulture forms part of the Apennines, doesn't it? The Apennines are that spine of mountains that run all the way, almost
exactly
all the way up through Tuscany, all the way up into almost not quite, but into Piemonte, where it sort of peters out and goes round into the Alps. But the Apennines are all the Apennines volcanic?
Our part, the last part of the Apennines is the Vulture and is a volcanic, but not all Apennines are volcanic.
They're not. You see, I always thought the Apennines were a lot of very old volcanoes, but they're not. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned something that's quite important here, and it's... it's quite important for, particularly for southern Italy, because in southern Italy, it is hot, isn't it?
Yeah, usually where the people think are very hot weather, very strong red wine. But for the Vulture, this not is true, because we are in the middle, the sea is very far. The weather is very cold in the winter. We have every winter a snow. The last snow we got in the March, in the end of March. And the summer and spring are very fresh, with high scorpion night and day, 10, 11 degrees. And the Aglianico, for example, the harvest of the Aglianico is in the end of October, the first week of November, because we finish the harvest the last week, because the Aglianico is a later grape, but the weather is very cold, and the maturation of the grape is later.
Now, you say it's cold. I don't believe anything in southern Italy is cold.
Yeah.
But I think the altitude, you said 600 meters is where your village is at.
Yeah.
That does two things. First of all, it does make it a little bit cooler.
Yeah.
It does take the heat of the day. But the other thing that's quite important, because you're not on the Mediterranean, you're not on the seas themselves.
You're in the middle. In the middle.
So you don't get any of that cooling Mediterranean effect. But you do get cold nights, I imagine, because cold nights... they call it diurnal, so cold nights, hottish days, that sort of thing, quite common.
Yeah. It's usually in the summer, we have in the morning 32, 33, 35 degrees Celsius, but in the night we have 20, 21.
It's still quite warm.
It's very high, the excursion, because we are 600 meter high on top the mountain, but the Vulture is high 1,300 meter.
Yeah.
And the influence for the Vulture, DOC and DOCG is very important.
So do you get cold air coming down the mountain at night?
Yeah.
So normally when I think of southern Italy and Mediterranean, I think of the risk being drought. I don't think of frost. I don't think frost is going to be an issue for you guys. Is it an issue?
Yes, but we have always a snow.
We have snow,
and in the spring is a very fresh, and after the summer have a very high excursion night and day.
Yep.
The last snow we have in the March. And March is spring.
Yeah.
Usually the people think spring in the south Italy is hot.
Do you get, you don't get frost though, you don't get...
Yeah.
You do get frost?
Yes, the frost is a problem of the last changing of weather with the climb.
Is it spring and autumn frost?
The frost, yes, in the spring, we have the frost in spring, but not is a problem for the vines, because the vines is a later grape, is a later vines.
Bud burst occurs after your last frost. So the only risk you really have is drought. Is drought a problem, lack of rainfall?
It's not a problem, the water, because on the mountain, the weather changing very quickly, and we, in the summer, usually don't have a problem for the rain.
You don't?
For the water, yeah, we don't have a problem.
Do you have rivers that...
We have the rain, yes, but we have 70, 60 millimetre each month.
Oh, okay, it's still quite a bit.
Yes, it's okay. It's perfect for the grape.
Yeah, okay, so rain's not a problem, spring frost isn't a problem.
No, because the Aglianico del Vulture have living in this land many centuries ago and have acclimatation.
It's acclimatized. Yeah. You said the temperature gets to about 31, 32 degrees in summer, Celsius. Do you ever have problems with sunburn on the grapes? You know what sunburn is?
Mm-hmm. No sunburn. I understand, but no.
Because in places like Australia and I'm sure in other parts of Italy.
Yes, but are totally different temperature.
Yeah.
In Australia, they have 45, 15 degrees in the morning. We don't have this temperature.
Yeah.
It's impossible for us.
Okay. So you mentioned the grape was Aglianico.
Yeah.
And you said that it's been in Basilicata for quite some time. But Aglianico is not just grown in Basilicata, is it? It's grown in Campania.
Yeah.
What's the famous DOCG from Campania?
Yeah, in Campania, the DOCG is Taurasi, most famous, yes. In the Aglianico is a very important grape in the South Italy, and the Campania and Basilicata are the most important region for the Aglianico. Totally different concept of wine. The vines are two different clones, because in Italy are present 9 clones of Aglianico, and 7 are present especially in Campania, and they have the name of Taurasi, Benevento, Sannio, many different type of the Aglianico in Campania. The other two clones, VR 11 and VR 14 is the name of the clone, are present in Basilicata, and this clone have a name of Aglianico del Vulture, changing complete the soil, because in Taurasi and Vulture we have two different soil, volcanic soil, but in Taurasi the volcano is Vesuvio, and Vesuvio is from Naples,
yeah, and
is very far to Taurasi, but they have in the soil the ash, and the wind put the ash in Taurasi, and they have a tufo very compact.
Yeah.
In the Vulture, we are on the volcano. The volcano not is far. We are on the volcano, and our soil have many stratification, the many eruption of Vulture. It's funny to see our soil, because you see many colors, black, gray, light gray, and is lava, ash, lapilli. Lapilli is a little stone lava, and sometimes is a brown part. The brown part is the clay, and represent when the volcano is dormant. Today the clay is most important, because the water draining in the lava, ash, and lapilli keep the minerality and nutrition facts, and the clay is like a sponge, stop the water, and the vines not even never stress hydric. The vines in the our DOC, in the our DOCG, are planted very close on the line, because the roof have a competition and going down up in the clay and keep the water and don't have a never stress hydric. For our DOC and for our DOCG, because the Aglianico del Vulture is a DOCG, no irrigation for the regolamenta.
Okay.
And this is the difference, and I think the difference, the Aglianico in Campania, in the Basilicata, is a cultural concept, because the Campania is most famous before, and they are very for days most important the tradition in the they are more traditional in the making a wine. The Basilicata is a new land of wine in the last 20 years. We have an approach modern, and we open our mind, and we are we working for the wine and for drinkability. And the soil, volcanic soil and lava soil is most important for the minerality in the wine, and the minerality help the drinkability in the wine.
Okay, well, I'm always a little bit concerned about the word minerality. That's usually what people say when they're trying to sell expensive wines. But the clay is quite interesting, because the clay, as you said, holds on to the water, and you're saying that you don't really have any issues with water in southern Italy, and I imagine that clay really helps that a lot, because clay just, you know, just soaks up the water. It holds loads of water, and it'll mean that the grapes have got access to water all the summer long, which is great. You said that Aglianico del Vulture is quite a new wine region. When was the first vines planted?
No, we have a very old vines, because, for example, my vines are 70 years old, planted my great-grandfather.
Yeah.
But in the wine world, all together, we start to the making a wine, the new winemaker, we start in the 20 years ago, in the end, 1990.
Is that you or the region?
No, because we have an old producer in the region, but only three old producer in the region.
Okay.
The very reborn of this rinascimento, usually I use these terms because it's Italian, but the rinascimento of the Aglianico del Vulture and the land of Vulture is in the last 20 years. Many producers, many young people return in the region, and they start to making a wine, and with a new concept of wine. The young people see me study outside and after return in the regions and making the wine, but with a new concept of wine. We working for the wine modern, but not modernist. Modern because it is our idea, is my idea, for example, my wine of the Aglianico del Vulture, but not modernist because I working in respect the variety and the terroir where we are. And the principal characteristic of Aglianico are three: acidity, minerality, and tannin. In these last 20 years, we working for have a balance for these three characteristics. In the past, the people think the Aglianico is very alcoholic wine, very strong wine, more tannic wine, very tannic wine. No, today we're working and we study because the Aglianico is an elegant wine. Acidity, minerality and tannin are balanced in the Aglianico del Vulture, and we're working for this in the vinification and in the vineyard. And in the cellar, because it's important today to have a wine elegance.
What are the classic flavors that you might use to describe an Aglianico?
Yeah, the acidity is most important because we are high and we are on the mountain.
So diurnal temperatures, yeah, hold on to the acidity, yeah. Yeah,
it's important. The minerality, because it's a volcanic soil, and the tannin is a genetics characteristic of Aglianico del Vulture. It's most important for the Aglianico del Vulture the October months, because the phenolic maturation of this grape is in October. Mm-hmm. And usually October determines the vintage, because when October is cold, you have a very vertical wine, acidity, minerality and tannin supported by minerality, and is a little bit austere wine.
Yeah.
Where October is a little bit warm, you have a acidity, minerality and tannin supported by spicy and black fruit. And where October is balanced and is a perfect vintage, and okay, not easy every year, you have acidity, minerality and tannin supported by red fruit and flowers. Flowers, for example, violet, roses, and is a very balanced wine. This is the, usually I describe the vintage in this three typology. And for me, every year I divide the vintage in the cold, warm, or balance.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I've had some old Aglianico del Vulture, probably from one of your competitors, Grifalco?
Oh, yes, best friend, Lorenzo and Andrea.
Yeah. I've had those wines quite
friends,
a bit,
yeah.
And I've had some old Grifalco,
yeah.
And I've found it very good. In fact, we used to run WST Level 3 courses, and we used to give I think it was about a 10-year-old Grifalco Aglianico del Vulture, Bultura, and people loved it. It was one of these wines in the course that no one had ever had, and they were like, oh my God, this is a really cracking wine.
Yeah.
Because it did develop some of those nice savory characters people liked as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got the acidity and the tannin structure. When's the good drinking window for a good quality Aglianico del Vulture?
Aglianico del Vulture, in where is young, is possible to test the acidity, minerality, and fruit. Mm-hmm. And this is the principal characteristic. The chef life of this wine is very long, 20, 25 years,
okay.
Because the egg acidity, the tannin help.
The structure,
The structure help the aging. And usually medium is better to waiting 3-5 years for the perfect testing, but
3 to 5 years, yeah?
Yes, I think yes. For the testing, after, okay, would you have a possibility to drinking the wine 10 years? Wow, it's wonderful. Yes,
yeah.
It's perfect. But not always is possible, because
yeah.
In the all regions, we produce only 2 million bottles.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult today to have a very old vintage.
Yeah. One of my suppliers used to have it, and we used to buy it, and it was about 10 years old.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a cracking wine. Really nice.
Yeah.
It was one of your competitors, Grifalco, but that's all right.
No, our friend Lorenzo and Andrea, we are all together in the association. The name is Generazione Vulture, Vulture Generation, and we represent the new generation of Vulture. The young people study outside and return in the Basilicata to working for the wine.
Let's talk about how you make the wines.
Mm-hmm.
Machine harvesting or hand harvesting?
No, hand harvesting.
Why hand harvesting?
oh, we have a very old vines, and it's impossible to working with a machine.
How are they trellised? Mm-hmm. Have you got your vines against wires?
Yeah.
They are trellis, so you could machine harvest.
And it is possible to going inside with a machine, and it's possible to working only by hand, but usually we prune only by hand. The green prune is only by hand. We selected the leaf, only by hand. It's all operation and working in the vineyard is all only by hand.
Yeah, and small vineyards, it's normally more economical to do it by hand than if you had like 60 hectares or 160 hectares, you might find that machine working is more cost effective.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you harvest the grapes by hand, you bring them in.
Yeah, arriving at the grape in the cellar, and with a special machine, only the stem. And this machine, not only the stem, but select the berry. Yes, have a lector, optical lector inside, and we select the berry for the phenolic maturation.
So, do you get any green berries and things like that?
Yeah, exactly.
You've got some. Is it like the grape variety Zinfandel or Primitivo in Italy, it's known to be an uneven ripener. So you can often, with Primitivo, you'll get very ripe grapes and very green grapes. Selection is quite important for high quality. Do you get a lot of sort of uneven ripeness with Aglianico?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Selected berry, and with the old berry going in a stainless steel for the alcoholic fermentation. And the alcoholic fermentation is with a controller over temperature, only 24 degrees Celsius. And my maturation during the same time of alcoholic fermentation, 2 weeks. I don't working with a very long maturation, but I prefer to working with a short maturation because the Aglianico is have a very thicker skins, but more crispy. And when you're working a lot, the grape and the berry, when you're working a lot in the maturation, you produce more sediments. More sediments going the wine in reduction. I don't love the sulfur center in the wine, the reduction center, because we are on the volcano. We are the highest in the Vulture. We are the last, and we are on the volcano rock, and usually in the cold vintage we have a sulfur center because the soil have a sulfur in the volcanic soil is a typically sulfur center, and I don't love when it's too much.
Okay, so let me recap that, because I think you don't do a lot of cap work, so you've got lots of thick skin, so you don't need to do a lot of cap work, you know, plunging the cap down or pumping over, is that what you do sometimes?
Celtic pumping.
So pumping it over. You don't do a lot of cap work because the grapes themselves will break up a little bit, and you don't want grape skins in the juice forming that sediment.
Yeah.
And you're worried that because the volcanic soils are very sulfuric, you'll end up with a lot of sulfur in your wines. And if you go into sulfur chemistry, you get things like mercaptans and onions and what sort of smells do you get? Onions and boiled cauliflower? Okay, so you don't do a lot of cap work for that. Okay.
And after, when finished the alcoholic fermentation, I go in the presser.
But you crush the grapes before they go into the tank?
No, I destem with the old berry special machine. We destem selected berry. After the berry going in a stainless steel, all berry, not crushing, all berry, going in a stainless steel. In a stainless steel during 2 weeks for the alcoholic fermentation and the maturation. After, when finish alcoholic fermentation, we going in the presser. Very soft pressure, only one atmosphere. And after, the wine going in the wood. Mm-hmm. We use only French oak, the barrel and the tonneau. 500 liter and 200 liter and 55th New Oak, and after aging 1 year in the wood, the wine, and malolactic fermentation is in the wood. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And after I assemble the wine and going in the bottle, and after aging 1 year in the bottle before to start to market.
Okay, so there's two things here. First of all, you said you used two different sizes of barrels. You
yeah.
said a 500 liter barrel and a...
In the first time, I use only barrel 200 liter.
Yeah.
But now, in the last 4 years, I use 50 barrels, 200 liter, and 50 tonneau, 500 liter.
Yeah, 50%, 200 liters, 50%, yeah. 500. Why do you use the 500 liter barrels?
I made the two different experiments. One for the barrel, for the barrel a little bit small, normal barrel, 200 liter, and with a wood a little bit thicker, normal barrel, 4.5 centimetri. And this is most important because with a small barrel, we have a more exposition with a microoxygenation, but with a wood a little bit thicker, we have a very slowly microoxygenation.
Okay.
In this way, it's possible to have a very long chain of polyphenolic component. And this is most important for the shelf life of the wine, for the balance on the palate of the wine. In the last 5 years, I start with a new experiment with another tonnellerie for the tonneau 500 liter and tonneau, the difference, tonneau 500 liter and the 300 liter. After the study, I share the 500 liter because I think for my wine is a perfect polymerization of polyphenolic component, the chain of the polyphenolic component for the microoxygenation is perfect for my wine and is perfect in balance with the barrel.
Yeah, okay.
The small barrel.
All right, so you've got two things here. You've got big barrels, mm-hmm. which will have a lower microoxidation.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of wine in there to absorb the oxygen. And then you've got smaller barrels that are going to have higher levels of microoxidation, mm-hmm. but you're using thicker wood to limit the amount of oxygen to slow it down, and you think that creates a better polyphenol chain.
Exactly.
Okay, all right. So, and that's for about a year. Why a year? Year's a long time in a barrel. I mean, a lot of people will do barrel aging for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year. It's quite long because...
1 year, yes. I make many experiments in the many years, and I think this is better for my wine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because I think it's better for the polymerization of the polyphenolic component, and it's important for the polymerization is most important for the shelf life of the wine.
The polymerization...
Yeah.
What normally with polymerization, you're talking about the tannin structure, aren't you? Are you talking about smoothing out the tannins? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're looking to do with the long time in oak?
Yes, because it's important to have a very slowly microoxygenation in the long time to have a very important stability because the stability of chain of polyphenolic component is tannin and anthocyanin.
And the tannin
and the color part.
The signs.
It's most important. But this is possible only with a slowly microoxygenation in the long time, in the short time, because where is quickly the microoxygenation, this chain not is possible.
Okay, so you have a very long, slow microoxidation for tannins, but also for the color stabilization.
It's important, long and slowly.
Long and slow. Okay, brilliant. Okay, and then you age it for a year in bottle before release. Mm-hmm. Is that required by the DOCG rules, or is it...
Okay, the Aglianico del Vulture is a DOCG in Basilicata.
Yeah, because I thought it was a DOC.
Yes, my titolo is DOC because when I start in 2000, we don't have a DOCG. We have only DOC. And I start with one a single wine, a single grape, a single vines. Okay, I have 6 hectares altogether around the cellar. And when I start in 2000, I think, okay, I'm making with a single grape, a single vigna, I'm making only one wine, but better maybe. And I start with the Titolo, and this is a DOC. The DOCG start in Basilicata the first time in the 2010.
Okay,
the first time. And have many problems in the many years. I start in the last 6 years to making an experiment, Superiore and Riserva, a DOCG. And it's a little bit long time in the wood, because the Superiore aging 2 years in the wood and 1 year in the bottle.
Oh.
And the Riserva aging 3 years in the wood and 2 years in the bottle.
Yeah.
I made this experiment. Now I study the polymerization of the polyphenolic compound, because my approach is a very scientific approach. It's most scientific approach. And I think, why not in the future I changing in the DOCG? Why not? But now I study the long vinification, because I in my family don't have a tradition in the vinification. My mommy and my daddy are a teacher. I returned to working with my grandfather, because my grandfather had the vines, and but he sold the grapes. And I study in 2000 viticulture and enology at university in Pisa, and I start to making a wine. I'm the first generation in my family to making a wine. And for me, it's most important to study for the quality. And I don't changing my idea only for the, because changing the DOC and DOCG, I changing my idea when I study and I know it's correct to changing. It's important for me this, to study before to changing my idea.
Can you make DOCG Aglianico del Vulture? You can.
Yeah.
But that requires longer aging in oak and bottle, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're trialing it, but you're not really making lots of it?
Yes, it's a small quantity, and only 400 bottles each
yeah.
label,
yeah.
Superiore and Riserva.
Okay.
And my study continued, because I study the vinification in the amphora, vinification and aging in the amphora.
Yeah.
It's Italian clay, is without treatment, is the same outside, inside, the clay, the Italian clay, is a little bit more porous of wood and have a very quickly micro-oxygenation.
Yeah.
Changing complete is the same wine, but is a complete another wine, because the polyphenolic component have a chain a little bit short. You have the tannin. We have a tannin. A little bit spigolous on the palate.
A little bit what?
A little bit
firmer.
Probably is it totally different? Is a totally different wine. It's difficult to explain without glass.
I can imagine.
Without glass, but it's totally different wine.
Okay, all right then, Elena. I think we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And sorry for my English.
No, it's good.